So what are you paying attention to these days? What's your focus on exactly? What are you looking at? What's taking your attention? The chosen one, Jesus, has been lifted up. Are we paying attention to that? Are we focusing on Jesus? You know, I seldom hear this passage from John 3 without thinking about other passages. There's so many things that kind of tie into this this text in John. I want to read you a passage from Hebrews. You'll recognize it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer, some translations say the author and finisher of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus, the reason for who we are, the inspiration for what we do, the one who brings light into our darkness. Are we actually looking at Jesus? Or are we distracted by a myriad of other things? Is our faith part of a to-do list that we check off once a week and then focus on a million other things the other 6.5 days? Well, it's time for sermon review. For the Lenten season, our sermon overall is, it's time, God is here, repent. Guess what we're on today? Repent. No, we're on repent. We haven't got to believe yet. We're only next week we'll get to believe, but today is repent. So what does it mean to repent? It means to turn around, to turn away from, to turn towards, because if you turn away from something, you automatically turn towards something else, right? So today I want us to think about turning away from our distracted, sinful ways so that we can turn toward and renewed life and focus on Jesus who has been lifted up. So I want to look at our readings, but I'm going to give you a little context. Our passage from John 3 that Michelle just read is the middle of a conversation that Jesus is having with a man named Nicodemus. Last week, we read about the cleansing of the temple at the beginning of John in chapter 2. And immediately after that, we come to this event. It's happening in the middle of the night. Nicodemus has come to Jesus. He's one of the religious leaders of the community. And he comes to Jesus and starts talking with Jesus about the kingdom of God. And what does it mean to be a part of the kingdom of God? How do you become part of the kingdom of God? So Jesus talks about God's Holy Spirit that blows and moves and pushes us and inspires us and gives us new birth as God's beloved children. And then Jesus continues with the passage that we just heard. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the chosen one must be lifted up. And through this chosen one, you will find the life that God has promised in God's kingdom. So what exactly is Jesus talking about? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, Nicodemus, being a biblical scholar, would have known exactly what Jesus was talking about. For us, we may have to think about this for a little bit, but the trick is I just read it at the beginning of the service. It's the story from the book of Numbers. The Israelites were in the midst of their desert wandering. They're headed towards the promised land, but they begin to complain a little bit. Irrationally, I might add, because you may have noticed they said, we have no bread, and then a sentence later they said, and we hate this disgusting food. Really, Is it you don't have food or you just don't like what you have? So God sends poisonous snakes to bite the Israelites. Finally, when they were humbled enough, they asked for help. At God's direction, Moses builds a pole with a bronze serpent on it and puts it up in the middle of their encampment. And when bitten, then the people would only have to look to the snake and the poison would leave their bodies. They would be healed. So when Jesus references this as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Nicodemus is connecting right away. Okay, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the chosen one's going to be lifted up. How do these things go together? As the ancient Israelites could look at the bronze serpent and be healed of the poison that was coursing through their bodies, now all people can look to Jesus and be healed of the poison that is coursing through their lives. It's about looking towards what will bring life, focusing on the source of healing. The ancient Israelites were driven to repentance because they realized that their selfish ways had gotten them into a bad situation. Rather than staying focused on God and worshiping only God, the divine one that was leading them to the promised land, who had brought them out of slavery, they began to focus on everything that they didn't like and the fact that things were taking longer than they wanted it to. Our timeline is more important than God's. Surely God could have come up with better food than what he gave us. Well, rather than focusing on God and worshiping the divine, we too become distracted by many other things. And we fail to keep God's timeline and priorities first in our lives. We start to believe that we know better than God, that our ways are better and wiser than what God has asked us to do. We fail to be grateful for the way that God has saved us in the past and cared for us. And we start to doubt God's care and love for us in the here and now. My prayer is that we too might be driven to repentance, compelled to look to Jesus, in whom we find the cure for what is poisoning our lives. Jesus calls us to repent. And in this conversation with Nicodemus, he tells us what that means. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus' saving work on the cross. Focus on the gift of God's love that comes to us over and over and over again. No matter how many times we mess up, no matter how many times we forget that God's timeline is better than ours, no matter how times we forget that God has blessed us richly, no matter how we get ourselves into trouble. And indeed, these two stories are about people getting themselves into trouble. The poisonous snakes and the lifting up of Jesus, however, are stories of grace. Stories of God going beyond what was required of God, if you will. God could have told the Israelites that they were on their own. After all God has done to get you this far, now you're going to act this way. Well, good luck to you. But God doesn't do that. God does not abandon them. He patiently waits until they are ready to turn back to him. When they are finally ready to repent, God is there. Our sin, too, is often self-destructive. We invite the venom into our lives. We continually make choices that are bad. Yet God is always waiting for us. God is always waiting for us with the gift of Jesus and saying, I'm right here. Just look to me and take what I'm offering you. God is always waiting for us so that we might know the depth of God's love for the world. And I want to make sure you hear that. God's love for the world. It's not for the people who say the right things. Well, it's for them, but it's not just for them. It's not just for the people we like. It's not just for the people who agree with us. It's not just for the people that we think God should love. It's for the whole world. No exceptions. And when we look to Jesus, when we focus on God's love that is shown to us in Jesus, we can live in the light of new life and renewed hope. This passage from John 3 also reminds me of a passage from John chapter 1. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So much of the world feels like it is in darkness. And it's really the darkness of our own making. The story of the Israelites, they were suffering due to their own poor choices. And in John 3, after Jesus talks about God's love for the world, he says, "Whoever believes in the only begotten avoids judgment, but whoever doesn't believe is judged already for not believing in the name of the only begotten of God. On these grounds is sentence pronounced, that though the light came into the world, people showed they preferred darkness to the light because their deeds were evil." The suffering, the judgment that Jesus is talking about is here and now, and it is because we choose darkness over light. Suffering is a result of our own making. The judgment that Jesus speaks of is happening now as we live, and the solution is to choose light over darkness. To look to Jesus shows us the depths of God's love and offers us opportunity after opportunity to live in the light, to seek God's kingdom, to work for the good of all people, to celebrate the blessings that we have been given, and to share them with others, to allow our souls to be filled with the tender mercy of our God, mercy that is given to the whole world. It's time. God is here. We have seen God in the face of Jesus and the saving work of the cross. Repent and turn your eyes and your soul towards the one who loves you the most.